Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, here we are, episode 5 of Witchy Wellness Radio, where it gets a little random today, but mostly centered around inner child work and how this discussion was spurred in my mind from thinking about aspects of the divine feminine or just femininity in general. So the start of this episode, I'm starting to talk about opening up about feminine and what feminine means to me. And then from there, I just let it flow. And we end up talking a lot about inner child relationships, quarter life crises, and how to heal these core beliefs that were formed when we were going to puberty as children. And I even lead you through a little freebie meditation towards the end. So I hope you all thoroughly enjoy, and let's get started. Feminine means to me is this idea of opening up to receive, and in order to be able to do that, you have to surrender and you have to trust, which for myself, and I know a lot of my friends and fellow perfectionists that are in recovery or not, that word trust and surrender, those are two very scary words. And this is a place that we all need to kind of dive deeper into and heal. Another aspect of feminine that really calls to me is the idea of cyclical nature and time. We are interconnected to the moon as women with our moon cycle, with our menstrual cycle. Everything is just cyclical, the seasons. So I really find that it's very helpful to tune into not only your own moon cycle, but just the idea that time can be cyclical itself, and that you don't have to be this bright, shiny person all the time who is driving herself into the ground by doing everything and anything for everybody, but not taking the time for herself just to be and do nothing. And I think feminine and the divine feminine aspect in all of us, men or women, ask us to look at that cyclical nature and where we in our lives that we can take a step back and just be and listen. And like I said before, trust and surrender and listen and see what comes through for you, because we're so used to being stuck in this perpetual state of going all the time. We actually become more addicted to it because when we sit down to maybe just be or possibly even meditate for the first time, we can't sit there with our thoughts because it's more scary to sit there in this state of unknown than it is to be stuck in this perpetual state of anxiety and stress. Does that sound familiar to anybody? So the feminine aspect calls to me to pay attention to time, to be able to receive, and this playful aspect. And being a woman myself, the playfulness is, I get drawn to this idea of inner child, or what was I like, 7 to 10 years old? What did I love doing then? And incorporating maybe things that I love to do then, but things that make me feel playful and bring more joy and make me feel unlimited and abundant and happiness now. I can start feeling that way now. That's when I can learn to let my body trust me, let those inner dialogue thoughts of that barking dog, the barking dog at telling you that the mammon's coming to the door. But these barking dog thoughts, like, I won't be able to ever do that, or that kind of seems a little unsure, or, oh my God, my thighs are too big. these thoughts that our brain is bubbling up to tell us are just trying to warn us, are just trying to do their quote-unquote job. So when we are able to add more positive, joyful thoughts to our body, to our mind, and be able to retrain that barking dog, literally, I'm talking as your mind becoming the master of your body as that barking dog, and you're able to sit down and retrain it. Whenever those thoughts come bubbling up, you can just say, thank you, we're coming back to the present moment, and go from there. So why are we talking about this divine feminine, or just feminine aspect, and the inner child relationship? Well, I felt really inspired after this discussion I had with a wonderful group of women this past week about these aspects. More specifically, we were going into the discussion talking about the feminine connection between, you know, other women and how important it is. And, you know, discussion went where it needed to go. And for me, some of the more poignant points were this relationship of the wounded feminine and the wounded inner child. And through my own healing journey, I found it extremely helpful to literally sit down and into like a visualization meditative state and go to this inner child who's living inside of all of us and talk to her, see how she's doing, giving her a hug, loving her up. Because our responsibility now is to reparent ourselves. You know, I had two of the most healthy, loving, supportive parents. I had a very privileged childhood. I still am very connected to all my family, but we all have shit to deal with, no matter how traumatic or not, quote unquote traumatic. I think puberty in itself is quite traumatic to anybody, especially, you know, just from my own personal experience as a woman and entering womanhood. And I think it's a worthwhile discussion to have, is what we were dealing with typically at the time of puberty, you know, before, after, what the issues we were dealing with, self-worth, you're not feeling enough, not feeling valued, oh my God, the boys don't like me, yada, 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 typically is what the shit that's bubbling up now. A lot of people, even myself included, calling quarter life crisis is, like I said before, time is cyclical. And when we don't feel and heal these issues and these patterns, they're just going to keep bubbling up, because the soul wants you to change, wants you to heal, and quite frankly does not give a fuck about how it comes through. We get stuck in these habitual patterns of victimhood or unworthiness or depression, whatever you're going through. And, you know, we just go through the motions every single day, thinking the same thoughts, doing the same things. You know, when you're on autopilot, when you're driving home from somewhere and suddenly you're home and you don't really remember cognitively how you got home, but you just did. It was an unconscious behavior. Well, the soul, after so much time, decides that when we're going off our path in this way, this unconscious way, you know, it can't sit still. It needs to come through. So it's going to bring situations, bring things into your personal reality that may or not seem like shit is hitting the fan. And you feel like your world's crumbling, or the way that everything's worked before no longer is working. But these are opportunities that the soul is just crying from inside of you to have you relook at what's going on. And typically, these are things that have been created since puberty or since childhood that, like I said, the cyclical manner. In terms of astrology, which I would just say I'm more of an armchair astrologer, I think any of these modalities, you know, energy healing, spirituality, these all are great different ways to describe what we're all going through And I think astrology does a great way at describing quarter life or midlife crisis. So the quarter life crisis typically happens, it can happen 25 years, but around 27-ish years, give or take, depending on when you were born in your chart. It's called your Saturn return. And this happens every 27 years or so. So the next one is your midlife crisis. But things start to happen. And this is when you really step into adulthood. A lot of people get married around this time, get divorced, have a child, switch careers. Big life changes that wake you up. And the inner child at this time needs, well, any time really, but this time specifically is really powerful when you can do some of this inner child healing work and reparenting yourself. Because when you're going through this storm of crap and, you know, you just feel like everything's broken down and you're just trying to pick yourself off the floor, you're rebuilding everything. It's a breakdown to breakthrough mentality. It's really helpful to use this inner child picture or visualization to reparent them, to retrain your subconscious, to retrain your conscious thoughts of things, you know, seeing that how you used to be, the things weren't working any longer. And obviously, this is what your present reality is showing you, that the way that you are living, the way that you are thinking, you are telling yourself, you are telling everything outside of you, you are telling the universe that I want to be in this perpetual state of suffering, no matter what's going on in your life. So this is a great time to pick yourself up off the floor, your inner child, and just have a loving relationship and conversation and playful time with them. You know, when we're going through the rough of things, you are very vulnerable. You almost feel fragile, but what you're really doing is you're building yourself up stronger than you've ever been. And I forget the name of it. I'll link it though in the show notes. It's this Japanese concept of when something breaks, like pottery or, you know, a mug or a bowl, what they do instead of throwing those broken, shattered pieces away, they gild them back together to become whole with gold. So it actually becomes stronger than it was than it previously was. And when I'm going through a bunch of crap and I'm really digging deep and I'm healing, I'm doing the work, but I'm also doing it in a way that it with ease and flow and, you know, tuning into that inner guidance system, that intuition, that soul part of my essence, you know, you come out on the other side a new person. You feel like you've been gilded and you've been rebuilt with gold, stronger than you've ever been. So this analogy or literal depiction of your inner self, your inner child, can be helpful because who wouldn't want a perfect pep talk from a loving parent, an understanding person who's just trying, just unconditionally loves them? My own sense of self-love and self-worth really took a dramatic shift when I was doing this inner child work, and the idea of an idyllic mother's love. And my mom is definitely one of those moms. She is the most loving, caring, respectful, fun, will drop anything for you, loving mother. And when I was trying to really think about this concept of unconditional love, sometimes I don't even know how to describe unconditional love sometimes, because when we say love, we also think of not being in love. So we have this picture of love of having two dualities to it. But this real unconditional state of love is just some unconditional state of being. And what we really need to do is be able to have that idyllic mother's unconditional love to ourselves. And what a better way to do that is to visualize and picture doing that for our inner child selves. Because I truly believe, you know, I'm a coach and I go to other coaches, other therapists, other healers, but we need to be the main drive for what we need in our lives and what we need for our healing journey, because we are the only people ourselves will know what we need. And when we can connect to this inner part in us and enter into this deep visualization and discussion, we will actually be able to learn things that we already knew about ourselves, about the issues that we are dealing with, whether it be self-worth or value, or also what we need. And I think it's very powerful to be able to do this, because when you realize and when you have these experiences and understand what's happening, you'll be empowered to want to deepen that. You'll be empowered and excited and motivated to continue your journey of adding more positive things in, really taking divine responsibility for yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly, the inner child work. You want to dive deeper. You want to heal yourself up, gilded with that gold, stronger than you've ever been, because you know that, one, you're worth it. And when you start to feel this way, you get this big ball turning instead of towards the stress and the anxiety and the depression and the guilt and the shame. When you start doing these practices and you take responsibility, you start turning that snowball around to the other side. And we start adding in perpetual states of joy, of happiness, of fun, that not only is it possible to feel those things, but it's possible to feel like that all of the time. And yes, I do feel that way most of the time, but sometimes things happen and you have to feel those feelings when they come bubbling up. Today, I had a power yoga class, which normally I love them. They're a great workout, but they're not the most spiritual type of yoga classes. But today the teacher decided to teach the class in the way that it was slow. So every posture, every movement to in between, we had to take our time. And it was really weird at first because power is very go, 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 very masculine driven practice rather than more like a yin yoga practice, which is a very feminine practice, to take our time and be present and just be. And it was actually pretty physically challenging, but mentally challenging, because you're so used to keeping your breath when you're moving all around, but keeping your breath when you're holding these poses and you're not moving around is still just as difficult. But we went into, you know, normal pigeon pose, hip opener. And for a lot of people who don't know, hips store a lot of trauma and a lot of emotion, and all the crap that we don't deal with gets stored in our hips and our thighs. It's the biggest part of our body. Typically, a lot of people, your hamstring or your glutes, or your quads, those are really tight. That's where a lot of people hold stress. So I've done, as you may know, my own healing story. I've done a lot of work in that area with a lot of trauma that was stored in my hips and my legs. One leg was tighter than the other. It was fine. I went to the other side in pigeon, fine, felt great. Didn't really feel a big release, but right after we got up from these pigeon poses, and I'm just standing there in a forward fold, this song comes on. Oh my God, I think it was the Lady Gaga song, A Million Reasons. And it just triggered something inside of me, and I just start bawling. And it was just this deep, visceral sadness, and I just let it flow. No, I don't think the teacher didn't notice. No one noticed I was crying. I don't really care that I was crying. But I let it flow through me, and I deeply asked myself during and after, you know, where was this coming from? And it was just something that was stored in my body, and there really wasn't a story to it. And I was able just to kind of feel it and let it pass through. And back to the previous scheduled program, you know, back to my normal state of being. And I think when people say, like, it's possible to feel joy all the time, and you just think that they're just some far out woo-woo concept, that you're like, yeah, that's never farther from the truth of where I feel like I am right now. I want to get real with you guys and explain that it is possible, but things happen and you're going to react to things happening physically or energetically. And the deal is you don't hold on to those things. Now, I could have built up this whole big story around me crying and this sadness and, you know, being embarrassed or ashamed that I was crying in class, or not knowing where this was coming from and like having to get down to the nitty gritty of it. But I was able to get to a centered place inside myself and ask, do I need to do any work? Where is this really coming from? And now, working with my intuition for a while, I know the difference between that barking dog, inner committee kind of worry thought, and the intuition thought. The intuition is very clear, very precise, very direct. And, you know, all I heard was no. And that's all I needed to hear. So I was able to wipe my face off, get out of class, and continue with my day. So I wanted to go back to the actual concept of the inner child and how to talk to her and actually change what's going on inside and change the past. So when we are going through puberty, around the time of puberty, there are typically a lot of things are changing physically, emotionally, biochemically, in our bodies. But this is the first time where I feel like I really felt like I needed to have a sense of belonging. And typically that was trying to find that outside of myself, whether it be with the popular clique in school or what later turned out to be my overachieving perfectionist mentality of, you know, having to get the straight A report card and be on the student council and all of the overachieving extracurricular activities to no end. So just constantly achieving to seek approval from others, but also from myself. This is when we start this puberty time, I feel like, is when we start to define our own sense of self. And typically, through these teenage years, we search anything and everything outside of ourselves, which I think, you know, trying new things and new opportunities is good and valid way to discover what we like and don't like, but it needs to be from a good, strong, foundational core, that what we do or who we are or what we have does not determine our worth or our value. And to a preteen or a teenager, that just, they could care less about that. And, you know, this is a part of maturity, and this is why a lot of these things come surfacing up again, especially during Saturn return, is we are called to heal these wounds of our childhood that I think are divinely given, or that we divinely chose before we came here to heal and to learn from and grow and help others with, to heal these things of our past childhood in order to step fully into adulthood, into, you know, more sets of experiences and things that we're going to need to heal, and another growth experience. But what we are called to do is continually heal and grow, because the whole point of being here in this physical form and this physical existence is to grow, is to create, and to love. And I think when we stop doing any of those is when we start to go unconscious, and that's when we start to become lazy, and that's when these really self-deprecating behaviors of not taking care of ourselves and come to surface. So it's through this constant healing and evolving and growing and creating perspective that we can gain a better sense of ourselves, but a better sense of what makes us happy, what makes us feel joy. Because all of those feelings, good or bad or ugly or whatever, are already inside of you. I didn't really get this, that joy and happiness, they are both everybody's birthright. And going through your preteen puberty years, that definitely was not on my forefront, and not until relatively recently was not in the forefront of my mind, that this is our natural state of being. But we just start to hold on to different experiences, to different feelings, consciously or subconsciously, and physically store them in our body. And that, one, takes up energy. Two, can physically create and manifest physical ailments or physical issues that you're dealing with. And also, like I said earlier, is can manifest and bring experiences and people into your life that just that actually reflect what you're internally feeling. Because, you know, as law of attraction states, and what I truly believe, is that, you know, what you're thinking about is going to grow, essentially. That God or the universe or the all, you know, omnipresent divine creator, they unconditionally love you, and the universe wants to bring you what you're thinking about. And if you're okay stuck in this perpetual state of shame and blame and anger, well, the universe is just going to say, okay, well, they like that. They keep thinking about that. They keep feeling that. So we're just going to continue to bring those same things and reaffirm that into your existence. But the wonderful thing is, you can reaffirm all the good things into your life as well. And a way to start to do that is to retrain your mind. And shortly, I'm going to have I will lead you into a inner child meditation or visualization that you can actually be walked through this process to have with your inner child or your subconscious, so you can start to heal that relationship, heal those wounds, heal those old patterns and subconscious beliefs, and grow that inner child up into the strong partner who's walking side by side with you. This concept that's driven by the law of attraction was really helpful for me, because growing up with a strong religious background, I had a lot of guilt and shame for my sins, and I felt that I was punishable from those sins. But with this understanding and this awareness of what we think about it grows in law of attraction, we are actually punished by our sins. That feeling that we are sinful, that's an attitude. And if you believe that for your religion, that's fine. But this, for the mere purposes of, you know, your emotional well-being or your law of attraction set point, I wanted to describe this, that the state of feeling sinful, that the state of feeling on our lower vibrational emotional state, you know, the icky feeling of whatever you're dealing with, anxiety, depression, stress, control issues, that those unwanted feelings, quote unquote, sins, we're actually not punished, but we get reflected back more of those sins. So it was really helpful for me to realize that, to release the idea of sins, but also realize that what we think about grows. And if I want to think more happy thoughts and do better things, then I'm going to get that back into my life. And when you make it sound really easy, I know, just think happy thoughts. But when you make that conscious decision to change and you don't want to stay in this old self, that you realize that it's just no longer working for you, you step into the unknown, and it's scary. You know, you have to feel and be and act more committed to your future self, to that new idyllic state, whether that's being abundant or unconditionally loving yourself, whatever you want to bring into your life or bring into your personality, not only your just reality or personality, you need to be willing to step into the unknown. And a lot of people, that's scary. And a lot of times we decide to do something, like for instance, we join the gym after New Year's. We decide to do it. Shit gets hard. Stuff starts hurting. We're there for a few days, back to the couch, back to the automatic program that we've had cycling through for how many years. So when I say turn that ball around to be more positive, I'm not saying it's going to be not difficult. It's going to be hard at times. You know, some days I don't want to get up out of bed in the morning. I don't want to meditate. I don't want to go to yoga. My body is telling me to sleep in, because those extra, I don't even know, like 30 minutes of sleep, sleeping up until the last minute of my alarm clock and rushing around, that's familiar to my body sometimes. Not so much anymore, but you get stuck in the state where your body is actually trying to lead the show. And it's just playing out these unconscious behaviors. So when we step into the unknown, it's really easy to want to, even unconsciously but consciously, go back to the familiar of feeling it's more comfortable to feel those anxious thoughts and do or not do those same things than it is to change. A quote that I love so much by Dr. Mario Martinez that beautifully illustrates this concept I just talked about is that known misery is far more comfortable than unknown joy. Let me say that again, because I want you to soak that up. Known misery is far more comfortable than unknown joy. Is that resonating with you like it did me? I hope so. So take a second and kind of think in your life, what are you trying to change? What's no longer working for you? And what have you done in the past? And what have you reverted back to? And was it in that moment of unknown? Is that when you step back to the familiar self? What do you need to do to move forward, to become more committed and more in love to that future state of being or future self than you are into the past? And in order to do that, we have to become present with ourselves and become present with the universe and manifest, create, heal, free up all of this energy, people. You know, I don't think we realize how much energy we spend on telling ourselves the same old stories of, well, this happened to me 16 years ago, 7 months and 17 days from today, and this is why I am the way that I am right now. Rather than taking that experience for all that it was, all that it showed you, that it was reflecting to you at that point in your life from your internal perspective and feelings and thoughts. That's all it was. And to turning that mud into a blossoming flower. I mean, one of the most prevalent, you know, kind of Zen quotes is no mud, no lotus. So without this fertilizer, without this mud, there's no flower. When you've come into a new state of being is when you are so thankful for every single thing, every single person, every single experience that's happened in your life up until this point. And I always will feel like this, but the point of the matter is when you step out of this victim reality, this victim mode of this unconscious behavior or this wounded inner child, that life is happening to me. This person did this to me. This experience, this job loss, this illness, this is all happening to me. I am the victim in this situation. Rather, this is just a really slight shift, one word here. Rather, life is happening for me. So all I did there was switch the two and the four. When we can get into a perspective, which is really stepping kind of a little bit outside the situation, and realize that, yes, we are attracting and manifesting everything into our experience, but it's all happening for us. It's meant for us to heal. It's meant for us to go through. That, yeah, shitty people do shitty things to you, and they can be buttheads. This is very philosophical at this point, I know. But that doesn't excuse the fact for how you react and how it actually empowers you. So you have to ask yourself, am I living my life and this experience as if it's happening to me or for me? And how can I step from this victim perspective or this wounded inner child into an empowered mind state, an empowered being, this idyllic picture of myself that I want to become? Enough philosophy, woo-woo mumbo-jumbo for right now. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. Let's do the work. So I'm going to lead you all through a beautiful inner child meditation that I've heard from Dr. Chrystia Northrup, and I think it actually stems from Dr. Doris E. Cohen's work. I'll link both of those wonderful women in the show notes, where I'm going to have you sit down, meditate. I'm going to walk you through it step by step, so no worries. You might want to pause the audio now, get into a comfortable position, when we're actually going to have a discussion with our inner child. So go ahead, get comfortable, and let's begin. Sit down with your hands on your lap or on your knees. Get comfortable. And start to become more conscious of your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. In and exhale. Take a few moments and start to bring your awareness to your heart, to Envision a gate around your heart. What does this gate look like? How is it kept? Where is it at? And start to walk up to this gate and unlock the gate. Walk through. What do you see? Is this a lush garden with rolling hills filled with flowers? Or is this more look like a creepy graveyard? What is inside your heart right now? Now, once you get this clear picture, I want you to go look for your inner child. Where is she? What is she doing? What is she wearing? Now, if she's willing, ask her to come over to you. Once she comes over, ask her how she's doing, what she's feeling. And tell her what you needed to hear when you were that age, when you were going through all that she's going through. What does she need to hear to heal and to have fun again, to experience the joy of just being alive, but especially the joy, the pure joy of being a child? And after you guys are done having your conversation, go play. Go have fun. What was the thing that you loved doing at that age? And go run around with her. Maybe that's chasing butterflies, or going swimming, or possibly playing with dolls. Love her up. Experience that playful joy. And stay here as long as you want. Now, after you two are satisfied with playing, talk to her again and let her know that you'll always be here for her, that you love her. She is so loved, valued, and cared for. But you have to go now, and that she is safe and you will return shortly to love and to play with her again. So picture her, picture that little girl as you're walking away, standing strong and loving and empowered by herself. And maybe she just continues to play what you were doing with her a few seconds ago. And now we return back into the present day. You can wiggle your hands, your toes, your feet, and your ankles. Take a few conscious breaths and welcome back into reality. So this inner child meditation is very short. You can do it as long as you would like, now that you kind of know the gist of how it goes. But it's quite powerful each time that I kind of do it when I know that I'm going through whatever. I find out different things that I need to heal and that I need to be more present about in myself and in my own life. And I really find that the more that I frequently do this and checked in, especially when I'm going through some big stuff, the easier it gets. And each time I see that inner child stronger and happier and healthier than I did before. And now I feel like she's almost grown up. Like she's at that level that I'm at. Happy and joyful all the time and secure in who she is. So I hope that you all really enjoyed that and found it very powerful as I did. And I will have that included in next week's free Let's Meditate audio series that you can sign up at my website, laurencelentani.com/subscribe for free. Every month you'll get monthly meditations sent directly to your inbox. But I wanted to include and lengthen and bulk up the inner child meditation outside of this podcast, so you can just come back to that when you need that meditation on your phone, go directly to it and find instant source of healing and support and love. So I wanted to leave you all with this quote, which, you know, has to do with inner child, inner feminine mentality. It's been a week since Mother's Day here in the U.S., and this quote I found on Ram Dass' Instagram from Neem Karoli Baba, and this quote is, "See all women as mothers. Serve them as your mother. When you see the entire world as the mother, the ego falls away." So beautiful. Thank you all again for tuning in to Witchy Wellness Radio. I am so grateful for each and one of you, and I really hope that you get so much healing and love out of these transmissions. And if you have any questions or suggestions for topics, visit me over at my website, laurencelentani.com, and click on contact, and you send a message directly to me. Or you can reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook, which is at Lauren Celentani, and I would love to connect with you there. And as always, peace, love, and take care of yourselves. And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way. Hey guys, like what you heard today and want to hear more and don't want to wait until the next podcast comes out? Head over to laurencelentani.com/freebie-download to sign up for my free monthly meditation series, Let's Meditate. Now, I only email about twice a month, and one of those always includes a free meditation, which means each of those emails is packed with juicy info, like latest news on the Witchy Wellness Radio, my new blog post, and of course, the free monthly meditation series, Let's Meditate. And lastly, exclusive openings for email list subscribers only to work with me. So head on over to laurencelentani.com/freebie-download for this month's feature freebie meditation, which means you can download this month's meditation instantly and not have to wait for the next month to be sent out. Instant download means instant healing. Thanks, and I hope you guys enjoy.